Good morning, Crossroads.
All right, there we go. There's at least one who is in the presence of our Lord this morning. A loss for us and for one of our family members here, but a gain for him who is Bill Diddick, who is Raylene Cron's father. Walt is here this morning, and he wanted me to mention that his father-in-law has passed away this morning, the age of 90, and has been slipping away slowly, but now is before his God, and all is healed. Good for him, sad for us, right? But wanted you to be mindful of that and to be praying for Walt and his family during this time. They'll head to Saskatchewan sometime in this week, I presume, looking at Walt, and he's giving me the blank look. We've been praying together as part of what we do Sunday mornings, and I wanted to just turn back in the spirit of what we've been singing about, that God is our King, and we invite his presence here, his spirit to work among us. I want to pray, but I also want to, even before that, just say welcome if you are here in support of a team member, and this isn't your home church necessarily. And if this is your home church, we're glad you're here this morning otherwise. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to some of you who have been away. A couple of things. Can you Allah the Lion King? Where are you, Kimberly? There you are. We had prayed for Samuel Wood, hadn't we? He was in the hospital. We found out that he had a respiratory viral sort of deal going on that he passed on to his mother, which was kind of neat, but not really. He is here this morning. Chris, can you hold up your grandson like the Lion King? And we'll just say, there he is. It won't be the last time we applaud for you, Samuel. But we are grateful for what God has done there. Again, there are three kinds of prayers we've been talking about. Help, thanks, and wow. So we're thankful to God that he's done this healing work in Samuel. And we're going to thank him again because we've also been praying for Ernie's cousin. Remember that transplant that she had to undergo? Well, and we wondered if that would go and if it happened well. And there's a window there where it can be rejected. We're past that window. And if I'm pronouncing this right, where are you guys? Alvina, am I pronouncing that right? They were here. Okay, so we'll make up a name. Her name is Bill. Just between us, okay? She is doing fantastic. I think I emailed that piece on to most of you, which is to say, if you're not receiving the church email and you want to receive that, just give us a shout at the office and we'll get you on that list. And as you know, because we live in the PC world and we constantly are changing addresses over, sometimes we just lose people's addresses. It's not like we're sitting around as staff saying, I haven't seen the plumbers in a while. Let's drop them from the list. For instance, I'm just saying, okay, because you asked earlier. So just let us know, right? We'll get you back on there, okay? Good. I'm just going to pray, and then I'm not really preaching today. This is kind of a nice Sunday for me. All the preaching comes from the storytelling that we're going to do via video, and I'll explain that momentarily. Let's pray, though. Father, always, everywhere, you are right there. We don't always understand this, me included, and I wish I did. And for all the times that I do, because I'm paying attention and because it's clear enough for even little old me, thank you that you reveal yourself to me, to us, in ways that we get. And, you know, it's easier to see, Father, when we say thank you for welcoming this chosen one of yours, Bill Diddick, into your kingdom in heaven, the one that we pray that would come on earth, that is fully loaded with your will and purpose and goodness. We wait for that day, although we also know that we are invited into partnering to make heaven come to earth as much as this lifetime can sustain. So thank you for Bill's life. We pray a blessing on Walt and his family, particularly Raylene and her loss of her dad, and thank you for her faithful care for her dad. And I pray that you would encourage her, that in her loss, she would know that her dad is in a better place, fully healed, and she will see him again someday. And in the interim, that you would be and continue to be all that she needs for the peace and comfort that she will need for her and her family. Thank you for the work you've done in Alvina's life too, Father. Wow. I hate to say it this way, but I think it's like this, from death to life. Hers is a resurrection story. It isn't just way back on the day on that hill 2,000 years ago. It is happening all the time when you do these things. Thank you for the doctors involved. We would pray and did pray that they would do all they could to make best things happen for her, and they have. Thanks for a brother who was willing to be that donor happily, even though painfully. And then, Father, thank you finally for Samuel. Oh, what a beautiful little boy. We're glad that he's up and healthy and back at life, and so is his mom. And so, Father, with thankfulness in our heart, we turn now to another story that you've worked out, and look forward to those details. We invite you into this to show us and encourage us and challenge us the ways you would. In the name of Jesus, I always pray these things. Amen. All right, so this morning, in case you're not aware, we'll be telling the story of our 2015 Mexico team and the mission that we were on this summer, which is to say this, though. It began some time ago, right, when we as a church agreed that, like Abraham, we are blessed to do what? To be a blessing, right? That we have the privilege of partnering with God. This is how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2, to do the good things, the good works that God has set out in advance for us to do. God has made us and said, I got some really cool things for you to do with me. This is going to be really fun. Let's do it. It'll be tough sometimes. It'll be hurtful sometimes, but it'll be beautiful otherwise. So when we lay hold of these things, we can give what we can when we can. The 2015 team story began last year, actually, at this time, when we shared the 2014 team story, when it stirred us with one simple question: how might I be involved next year? That will also be the question of this morning. Because not everyone goes, right? But everyone can have a part. Indeed, you did. You and your regular offerings, like we had taken up this morning, give to the ministry and the mission of this church, and it's what's paid for and will continue to pay for the building materials that we use in our construction of the homes that we build every summer when we go down. You will see that home a little bit later. You helped us put together a care tote bag per family member, per family, for each of our families over the past 3 years, and including Pastor Rosa and her father, whom you will meet shortly as well. That was you that did that. And your prayers. And I can't underscore how critical these are, actually. I mean, we pray these things, we assume they happen, but I don't know if they happen the way they do if we don't pray. Your prayers during, before, after the trip were foundational to the success of this year's team, who acted on your behalf to be the blessing that we could be. And so, though this is the story of 17 team members going on a short-term missions trip to San Quintin, Mexico, it is all of our story. And this is actually a really good time to remind us of why we go at all. See, we believe in the church, and by the church, I mean the global church, including the church that is in San Quintin, which is to say, the churches of churches, right? Who we work with, who work with One Life, One Chance to care for the people that they care for, including the work of vetting out the applications in each of those churches for those folks that are in those congregations of faith to get a home built for them. We believe that helping a family build a home actually helps them build a better life for them and for their community, where you've got to know when a house goes up, it becomes this place where others can come. Family members, friends, whatever might be the need, right? We believe in the ongoing care of our families in Mexico through practical care packages like we brought, education pieces like we are supporting, and through prayer. We believe that coming alongside One Life, One Chance to feed children and families in what are known as the cuartorias, which are places where migrant workers are housed, and then adults go away and kids are there on their own for the day. It's not a good situation. But we believe in feeding those kids and saying to them, as we said to a family that we had met in the garbage dump, who you will see on video shortly, we see you. It is the story of God saying to Hagar, I see you. We believe in that. We believe in hosting a daily Bible camp during our time there so that some might come to faith and that those who are of faith are encouraged in it. We believe in the work of rescuing children from abuse because it's the kind of fast, Isaiah chapter 58, that God has in mind for his people. And One Life, One Chance is building what they call the Casa de Refugio, which is to say a house of refuge for children, mostly girls, who are in their very early teens, if not 12, 13, who have been trafficked out to that kind of work. We believe that these are the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And then finally, we believe in the power of mutual transformation. And by that I mean this, that we may go to make a difference, and we do. And we come back different. And we believe in that mutual transformation. We would describe our teams as a short-term, long-term relationship, as sending a short-term team over a very long-term or as many years as seems right to our community of faith so that we can help, but so we can also build ongoing relationships in one community in San Quintin. So let's begin. 17 team members went to San Quintin this summer from June 27th to July 5th. This is their story, and it will begin with Stan and Marilyn Schultz, whom you may or may not know, are our on-field partners. So if I can get that first video, and maybe even the lights off, Dan, if that would be okay. So Stan and Marilyn.
You love it.
Hi.
Photobomb!
Okay. What I enjoy most about my role now is actually dealing with the people, the staff here at One Life, One Chance, working with the indigenous, just taking care of the daily running of the base. It's a beautiful place, and we just like to keep it ready for the people coming. We meet a lot of the people that visit us are non-Christians. We get to be an influence on them, and our main purpose here is just to show the love of Christ to all those that come here and visit us. We share every Monday morning. We get together as a staff, and I meet with Hardu and Heather, and we just discuss what's going to go on in the week. And it's just been a great changeover from what we used to do when Marilyn and I dealt with the pastors and did all the work with the pastors. Heather and Arturo are now doing that. And it's been such a great change because Heather and Arturo especially, being from the culture, knows what the pastors really need, where they're coming from, where we would guess at some of the times. And he just understands them and has a much better understanding of the whole situation with the culture. So it's just been a great transition time for us.
In this season of my life, I think what I'm enjoying most is getting back to basics, like I shared in one of my blogs. Just getting back to basics spiritually, physically, with family, spending more time with Ramon, getting him back to health, and getting him where he's enjoying school and he's participating. Just having the time to do that and not feeling like I'm wearing too many hats and not doing anything well. Thank you so much for your concern and for your prayers. It means everything to us. And the health scare that I had, because there's so many heart issues in my family, really made me take a look at what I was doing in every area of my life. And so the changes I made, like I said, were starting my day with the Lord every day. If it means getting up at 5:30 before Ramon gets up, that's what it means. And journaling, exercising, changing the way I eat. Now that I've taken a step back and started afresh, through a lot of prayer and stuff, the Lord's changing my heart to where I have a heart for the people again and a heart to minister. And so I'm just slowly, now that I've been feeling so good physically, I'm slowly starting to branch out, and I'm volunteering at a daycare 2 days a week, special needs daycare. Can't necessarily give everyone a new home or a better lifestyle, but we can give them hope, and we can show them love, and we can make them feel valued as a person.
What keeps us going and gives us hope is this: the knowing that we're changing lives one at a time. We're not trying to change the world. We're not trying to tell the pastors how to do their job. We're not looking at it as a huge valley changing experience. We're looking at it one person at a time, one church at a time. We like to help the pastors if we can. We just encourage them to do their job as best they can and give them the resources if we can. But it's one at a time. It's the personal relationships that count, not the big picture, but it's the one-on-one that we really enjoy.
Crossroads has had a huge impact, not only on us, just the support, knowing that there's a connection, knowing that there's a prayer support out there, as well as financial support, and especially in the role that you play with the follow-up, with the families that you build for, that's a rare thing as well. And it just makes the family feel so valued and so loved to know that someone is mindful of them after they leave here, is huge, and praying for them and mean it and come back and see them again. For us personally as well, just the fact that you guys, that Crossroads cares enough to ask the important questions: how can we do it better? How can we better support the families? How can we better support you guys or support the ministry? Just the fact that you take the time to ask that is huge.
It's been really encouraging to get the emails from Crossroads saying, what can we do and what do they really need? And so we can better prepare you and the families for your visits.
Yeah. Did you want to say we're awesome at this point? Or?
You guys
Crossroads
are awesome.
Crossroads is awesome. Okay.
That didn't feel forced at all. How can we pray for you guys?
We ask for prayer for our personal time. It's something that we seem to sacrifice, you know, through ministry. I think it's just one thing that is expected of a lot of people that are in ministry. We just pray for time where we can just spend with our, as a family, and visit our kids too. You know, those are things that we want to put on a priority list.
For me, a huge prayer request would be just wisdom and discernment as far as the area of education for Ramon. The best situation for him, that we will find the best situation. And wisdom and discernment for me right now, how much to get re-involved in projects, just to know when it's not.
All right, that's Stan and Marilyn Schultz. And you may remember Ramon, they adopted, or in the process of adopting, was left abandoned for dead, actually, a couple years ago. And last year's team brought a motorized wheelchair along for him. So he is scooting about and often gets stuck in the sort of shallow dirt in the back of their property, but which causes Stan to almost curse, but doesn't. Anyway, I'd love to pray for Stan and Marilyn. I mean, you know, is there a better time to pray for somebody than when they just told you what to pray for? So if you don't mind, and you can pray where you are, especially if you are connected pretty deeply. So let's pray. Father, indeed, thanks for our friends in Mexico, Stan and Marilyn and Ramon, and the work they do. And we're grateful to partner with them. And their gracious, funny, giving, thoughtful spirit. And so we've just heard Stan ask. We probably could ask the same prayer for ourselves. I know I could for me. That we would find quiet time, that we would make quiet time to ground ourselves in our relationship with you, from which everything else comes and flourishes or doesn't, depending, right, if we're grounded or not. And it's easy for Stan, for guys like me too, I suppose, and people in ministry, but maybe for all of us, to get so busy doing good or busy doing the administration that supports good or whatever it is, that we forget about you. We forget why we even do this stuff in the first place. And so I pray, Father, that you would help them both. I think it's more of a struggle for Stan, to be honest, to not discipline himself because it's something he should do, but that you place in his heart a craving, a desire for just some closeness with you, so that he would be reminded that it's joy to live and breathe and work with you and do whatever you call him to in any given day. And for Marilyn, as she said, Father, I pray that you would help her be wise on re-entering ministry, whatever that looks like, after her own health scares. First of all, I should have said thank you for that, that you got her through that season. Thank you that she sees that as a necessary sort of pause in her life to go, okay, what am I doing? What do I need to change? And she's responded so positively. And she's taken steps to get up earlier, to exercise, to eat differently so that her health is better. And I pray that you'd protect her from any anxiety around urgent answers to getting back involved, but that rather she would take her time and enter in and have a good sense of your leading for something really specific that you've laid on her heart. And again, we just pray these things in the strong name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. And in addition to introducing them to you there, I would encourage you to pick up their prayer card and maybe even the prayer cards of other staff members. We should update at least one of them, though. So when I point out that way, it's because the information table is out there. So that's Stan and Marilyn's card. I find it helpful to put it right on the fridge because I'm there a lot. I don't know why that is, but I'm just there. And so then I can pray for them as often as I'm eating, which is often. Okay. So there's their card, but there's also Heather's, who is now married to Arturo. So you can double up on that if you like. And then Pastor Isaiz and Anna, his wife, are all down there serving at base camp in Los Olivos, which was pictured in that video, right? Wasn't that stunning? Like, did you see how gorgeous that was? Who does not want to go down there? Stunning. All right, it's impossible to put into one word, of course, what a trip like this means to the team and to us, but we did try, and Greg lined us up to interview, and he asked us if there was one word, what might it be? And here's that video. So I'll take that second video, Chad, when you're ready. Thanks.
Describe the trip in one word, it would have to be inspiring.
One word, passion.
Probably same.
Would just be family.
Overwhelming.
I think it would be compassion.
Jubilant. Inspiring.
One word.
Hopeful.
And flexible.
Efficient.
I would say almost divine.
Eye-opening. Maria.
Seeing Pastor Rosa, the woman we built the house for, to see her interact with the people, just with the passion and love that she did that with, was very inspiring.
Over the past 3 years that I've done it, I've felt like this is my second home, honestly. It's been fun to play with the kids, build the house, and connect with the people, just see the joy on their faces on so little things we take for granted. It's just quite amazing.
Everyone out here it's just so passionate. Like the pastor, Pastor Rosa, she individually prayed for all of us on the team, and that really struck home, and I'm sure it did for everyone else. She individually prayed, giving us all strength, and it really surprised me because I didn't see that coming. But she's just got so much passion for all the people on the land, and her love for God, and it's wonderful.
Probably same. Watching even like kids here fight over a cookie or something, and how much the same we are despite everything we have. The differences. It's been pretty funny actually watching them, how similar they are to my children running around and arguing about this or playing or whatever.
The Mexico people show compassion in what they do. When we broke down on the side of the road and our bus was disabled right in the middle of a dangerous corner, it was not very long at all before we had big trucks pulling over, hooking up to us with a chain. People stopped to interpret. People even went down the hill and came back up. drop off some water because we were out of water, and they wouldn't take any payment for it. So what I noticed most on this trip is these people have a lot of compassion for other people, and it's inspiring.
His experience was inspiring. It's my first year on the trip, and what I can see the impact has made in the last 3 years is when we went to visit all the houses in the past, and how grateful everyone was, and they kept the houses so clean and tidy. They had such pride, so it was really quite heartwarming to see that they were very appreciative and really take care of what they have.
Very overwhelming, because this is my second time going down, and I think the second time you go down, everything sinks in, and it becomes just very overwhelming to see all the poverty to an extreme, and then seeing how you're able to help and make a difference in people's lives down here.
Yeah, it would be jubilant because of the joy that the people shown and the joy we've received down here.
Inspiring because, yeah, like, they have nothing and we have so much and they're just so happy. And
one word? Hopeful would be the word I'd use that might surprise you. It surprises me. When you look around, what you see, you might think there's no hope, but what we learn and remember coming back here, as we do, is there's always hope for people in Christ. And you see it in their faces, and you see it in their dreams, you see it in the way they live together and care for each other. It's a reminder that no matter what you have or don't have, you can have hope or you can be hopeless. So hope.
It would be Maria. And I would like to pick a different word, but it's just her name just comes to my mind. And like when we went and saw her and gave her the presents for the family, I was flooded with emotion. And like I realized that I've been basically thinking about, imagining, praying for these people for the last 3 years. And now I was actually seeing them in person. It was just so crazy. And she was so positive. Like, she just wanted to assure us that she had had steady work since we had been there, that the kids were doing well in school. I think that was her way of being even more thankful. It's like, you're not wasting your efforts on us. We're doing well.
They're flexible. Flexible in everything, but flexible in their time schedules and how we're building stuff and just, you know, adjusting for any error made in any way. And this whole trip has just kind of been like that, right? So, yeah, they're flexible in their faith, too. They're there outside on benches and the sand blowing, sun setting, and it's just, they're praising God, right?
Efficient. Obviously, it's a little bit of a different scenario. The pastor wasn't around because she was helping with the VBS. So we were able to build quickly, and we had help from kids and stuff that were around when VBS and stuff wasn't on. And it was great. Good team.
I felt that God was in it all the time. We pulled up, and the garbage dump is right beside a grave site, and there happened to be a funeral going on at the time. It was like you were in New Orleans, almost the music, this really heavy jazz, and actually it was pretty cool music, a lot of different sounds and stuff, yet still very dark, you know. Interesting that, you know, right beside the garbage dump, and then of course, you know, sad to see the people along the way. Of course, there was a couple there, and they had a young son, and, you know, sitting in the garbage, and we got to talk with them and found out that they actually made more money doing that with the garbage than they did working in the field.
For me, one of the things that I've rediscovered is that in the simplicity of everything, you stop and you take time for God rather than busy rushing around with everything. When you have all that stuff, you busy yourself with all that stuff. And here, it's you're back to just God. For me, it was really neat to see a friend that gave up everything to come down here and help the people. That's not something I could never do. And it was just a neat thing.
If someone is wondering whether they should come down and be part of this team, I would really encourage you to do that. You've been sort of wrestling with it and wondering and listening to the teams as I did year after year, and just asking God, should I be a part of that? I think we know that God is always, always about the heart. And he has something for you. And he draws us into these things because he loves us. And there are amazing things outside of our own grid and that he wants to show us. And so I would highly recommend that you come and just enjoy the people of Mexico. See what God is doing outside of our familiar surroundings and be a part of this amazing adventure.
You just wake up and you go and you do God's work, and there's a fulfilling feeling that comes that you're not going to get by just hearing about it. You have to go and experience it, and that's it's worth it, very worth it.
So inspiring, passion, family, compassion, jubilant, hopeful, flexible, efficient, divine, eye-opening, Maria. These were all the words, or some of them anyway, that we used to describe our experience in Mexico. I'd like to call upon a friend of mine, Art, who was on our team, and Morgan. I don't think I saw Morgan. I did. Okay, great. Morgan, come on up if you would, and Art, if you would at this time. So that we would ask you these questions just as by way of expanding the video a bit. And I'm going to ask you to grab maybe that mic down there, please, Morgan. Ladies first. Is that how we're going to do this? All right. Sure. Like that T-shirt. Okay, so the questions we want to ask is, why did you go? And for you, it's why do you keep going back, actually? So maybe you can begin with that, Morgan.
I would say for me, I definitely have a heart for kids and just that community. And just the culture. It's just they're... like they described in the video, it's just so joyous or jubilant was my word.
Well, you used the word, yeah. Jubilant, yeah.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah.
yeah, I would say it's the kids mainly for me. It's the draw and the culture. They're very open and friendly.
What effect does that have on you and maybe even your faith journey as you come back here? Because you, and maybe you'll move down there at some time, I know, but we'll
probably
see.
Probably, yeah, let's we'll be honest.
Okay.
I would say for me, like how it affects me, here.
Yeah. What impact it has on you here? Yeah.
I would say it's reminded me to be missional wherever I am. So regardless, I definitely learned that last year, kind of like, oh, well, I did my short term 1 week, 2 months, whatever, down there, and now I'm back in normal life and busy again. Right. But it's like, no, you're a missionary wherever you go, whether that's to your neighbor or another country, like, be big thing.
Can
for
you
me.
Maybe tell us a little bit by what you mean around missional and missionary? What do you mean by that?
Oh, just like, you can be a missionary at home, too. Okay. And you can be a missionary.
Caring for people here,
yeah,
caring
exactly.
for people wherever
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. You can serve wherever you are, basically. Whether
yeah, whatever
be,
you're doing.
Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And let me ask you this one last question. What would you say to encourage us to consider going? Why would you encourage us to go?
I would say go only if you feel called, though, to go. Like, I know for some people, they kind of wrestle with it, and they're like, I'm not sure. But, like, if God wants you down there, he'll make a way. Like, my first year, I was like, I don't know if I want to go. Kind of like wrestling with it, and then it was actually Derek Friesen
who couldn't go yeah,
and so like a week, not even, it was the Tuesday and we left on the Saturday, Greg texted me, it's like, so you want to go to Mexico for free? And I was like, okay, sure. So I went and I've stuck with it ever since, and now I'm working for them, and it's been a crazy journey. But yeah, I would say, like, just do it. Like, everyone has to go once in their life. I feel like adds perspective.
We would say as leadership that our goal would be that we'd all go down at least once. Mm-hmm. We are so convinced of the mutually transformative power of being there and doing that we would encourage you to go. And why we think it works for everybody is because there's this really nice hotel we stay at. And I know you laugh at that, but I'll tell you what, not Morgan, because she'll be a camper, but for 50-year-olds like me, my sort of covenant to the team was, I got to get good sleep so I'm not crabby with you the next day, right?
True. True.
And for any of us who aren't campers, which is, I mean, anybody who's sane.
what?
Okay, so.
I camp the
it's,
whole summer.
It's a chance for everyone. All of our demographic can go. There's really no reason to not be able to go if you're worried about sleeping or even food. They're real sensitive to food allergies and things like that. any last bit of encouragement you want to give them? You talked about a discerning call.
Yeah.
So for you, it was circumstantial. Is there any thing that you might tell us to be looking for otherwise?
I say just pray about it. That's the biggest thing for me is, like, this summer, my prayer life just, like, grew. And you always learn something going down there. That'd be my final thing, I think, is that you're always changing and growing. You are at home, too, but I find down there, just because you're more aware, you're out of your culture, so you have to rely on God.
Yep.
Because you're outside of your normal. And, like, you find gifts about yourself that you would have never found here because it stretches you in new ways in different environments. And just, like, it's amazing. I love it.
Okay.
It's good.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate that. Arthur, if you would come. That might be a good segue to say, it's just you and God. That was your comment in the video, and that gives us a chance to focus maybe on our relationship with God like we wouldn't hear otherwise. Let me ask you the questions that I asked Morgan then. Why did you go?
well, first of all, you were sort of twisting my arm.
Yes.
That would be the first.
That's
but I was
also how the Lord leads sometimes.
I'm at a spot in my life where I was turned 55, and it was.
You look great, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, bro.
And it was always my goal to be financially independent and everything like this. You know, freedom 55 and everything. And I hit 55, and I go, okay, I'm here. Now what?
Right.
And I've been for the last few years sort of searching for. Well, God's got something. There's got to be another reason I'm here. And what does God want me to do? What does He want me to do in the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And so I've been searching for that. And Rob has, you know, said, "Well, just listen." And he said, "Okay, let go to Mexico." And I'm going, "Well, if I'm waiting for God to tell me where to go, what to do." Yeah. I actually have to step out and try some things. Maybe this is for me, maybe this isn't. So I go, okay, I'm going to go down there and convince Rob that that's not my it's not my calling.
But he's such a truther that I think that we can all appreciate, and that is if you're trying to discern what God is telling you and you've kept on doing the same things you've always done, it might be very useful to change your perspective on hearing Him so that you might hear Him differently. And I think Mexico functions that way for all of us, actually, at some level. Let me ask you, what effect did going to Mexico have on you and its impact now, even?
Okay, so one of the things that was nice in Mexico was the fact that the people had a passion for Christ. Mm-hmm. And it sort of rekindled when, in my early 20s and that, when I was really excited and gung-ho and everything to accomplish stuff for Christ. And over the last few years, it's like, yeah, go to church and mm-hmm. do the regular things. And so I'm in the process of trying to figure out, well, what does God really want? And to get that fire and passion again for what He has for me.
Mm-hmm. And would you say it was rekindled a little bit down there in the fellowship that you had with your team?
Yeah.
Because that is what you said when I talked to you about this on Friday.
Yes. Yeah, so, this isn't my home church. So one of the things that was why I was reluctant to come or go was that I'm an outsider. And I even got my own room in the hotel all by myself, which was really nice. But I thought, yeah, well, I'm going to be there and nobody's going to really care that I'm there. There were a few ladies who made sure that we drank so that we wouldn't get sick, and just the way everyone cared for each other just reminded me of love that we all have for each other, and it sort of kicked me a little bit. I'm a little bit more, like my wife would say, I'm not very emotional or not really, you know, just sort of even keeled, just sort of steady. And
he's an accountant.
Yeah, sort of boring.
What can I tell you?
but one of the things that I sort of learned or saw was people modeling God's love, and I go, you know what? Rather than just having my nose in the books and worrying about somebody's finances, maybe I need to ask them what their life is about, what they're struggling with, or things that really matter. I mean, yeah, money gets you. You know, to buy groceries and stuff like that, but that's I'm going to use an analogy I use for a lot of my clients now is when we our funeral, they never show your dollar sign up at, on the a video screen. They we always have the memories of things we've shared and done with people,
and relationships.
Yep. And I go, you know what? Maybe I need to work on those a little bit and work a little harder at those. So. Mm-hmm.
To that point, he bought lunch on Friday, so well done. You're already applying it. Would you encourage us to go, and why would you? Which question would you like to answer?
Oh, okay. I would encourage you to go. It's like a retreat, but you actually accomplish something. Not that retreat.
reword. Okay.
I think Tony and I maybe have a little bit of comment here.
Seems more practical, maybe?
Yeah, I guess that would be some of the things that I thought about going is I'm not really a hammer. It's not really my skills. The fact that they didn't care that everything was sawed a little crooked and nailed a little crooked, that was okay.
That so works for me, too.
Like I say, it was a retreat. It takes you away from here, yeah, and all the, you know, simplicity or the things that we worry about, little things that are so unimportant, and sets you somewhere, and you start seeing what's really important, and you see other people serving Christ with really nothing, and they're excited and happy, and it sort of puts that back in perspective for you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Morgan. Thanks, Hart. I wanted to quickly make mention of something relating to what Debbie had said in the video around the families that we went back to. We did that in this case on a Thursday night, and there were three families we visited through the course of that time. And Hermelinda, who you saw pictured in there, who I was praying for one time, was one of those homes. And as we came into her home, you'll never guess what was on the wall right there over the dinner table. It was the team that built her home. So she's always mindful that there's this group of Canadians that come down and blessed how they could when they did. So that was pretty cool, actually. And so the very last piece, I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Rosa, who you saw at the end there in that last video. I would affectionately call her the little engine that could, because she is the woman whose home we built this summer. We were blessed by her. I think if you went and canvassed our team, who are mostly here this morning in One Life, One Chance t-shirts and green t-shirts, if you want to chat with them, they would say the Friday morning when she prayed for us, which was pictured there, was maybe the most significant of all the pieces for the week. Here she is. May she also bless you with what she has to say.
Bueno, pues Dios les bendiga por todas las cosas que pues han llevado a cabo. No sé ni cómo empezar, pero en verdad, pues antes de todo, yo creo que estas bendiciones fueron profetizadas de antemano por Dios. Antes de poder ver lo que hoy veo, ¿verdad? Con mis ojos, yo lo veía por fe. Pero pues el día que me hablaron que iban a echar el piso y eso, digo, ay, Dios mío, es una realidad. Es una realidad. Y pero pues alabo a Dios por eso, porque Dios hizo un sueño realidad. Porque yo pensé que iba yo a regresar al sur. Por allá, por Chilpancingo, por de donde soy, ¿verdad? Pero allá íbamos a, según a volver cuando yo todavía era más viejita, no sé. Porque digo, aquí pues como vivía yo en la misión, o vivo en la misión, o viví yo antes en la misión, antes de tener mi casa, pues esa misión, no, nada de lo que hay dentro de ella es mío. Nada de eso es mío, excepto dos cosas. Pero todo es ahí estaba. Dije, no, pues es fácil moverme. Nada es mío, todo está aquí. Yo nomás agarro mi ropa y me voy. Pero no, Dios tiene otros planes. ¿Verdad? Y como yo les dije, ¿verdad? Que son herramientas de vida. Son las herramientas preciosas que Dios usó. Sus manos, todo su ser fue movido por Dios. Por Dios fue movido. Pues nunca tampoco, nunca se me va a olvidar que los pastores hayan venido a dormir aquí en este lugar tan sólido y tan oscuro, y que ellos no están impuestos, ¿verdad? No estaban impuestos a venir a un lugar tan sólido, tan oscuro y solitario, que realmente dispuestos a decir, yo me quedo. No, o sea, en verdad, fue algo maravilloso lo que yo experimenté. Y saben una cosa, les voy a decir algo, que la primera decoración que fue hacer un servicio para la honra y la gloria de Dios aquí en este lugar. Pasando 3 días, yo hice una reunión aquí y hice junto bien, y ¿qué creen? Aquí aceptaron a Jesús. Pero yo espero que los planes que nosotros tengamos siempre van a ser recordando siempre que la gloria de Dios está en ustedes también, y que nunca se van a olvidar de lo que ustedes experimentaron, ¿verdad? Al hacer esta casa. Dios hizo este plan desde antes de la fundación del mundo, porque nosotros fuimos escogidos antes de la fundación del mundo, y desde allá Dios ya tenía un propósito y un plan para edificar esta casita. Esto no lo planeamos nadie, no lo planeó nadie, lo planeó Dios, y tocó los corazones y movió todo, y se para llevar a cabo esta hermosa obra en Cristo Jesús. No puedo pagarles nada lo que ustedes han hecho, solamente Dios puede hacerlo, y declaro muchas bendiciones sobre ustedes en el nombre de Jesucristo, para todos aquellos que participan con todo su corazón. Los amo en el nombre de Jesucristo. Adiós, hermanos preciosos. I love you, hermanos. I love you.
She's okay. We like her. Just a clarification, it wasn't the pastors who stayed over. It was a pastor. It was Greg and Curtis McHale who stayed. And that is because she was planning to stay on her property the first night, which would have been the Monday, on her own, making her vulnerable to being hurt herself. It would be fair to say that leaving valuables on the property unattended might not be there in the morning. And I think that's why Pastor Rosa had decided she would stay that night. But when we had caught wind of that, I'm afraid of the dark. So, no. Greg volunteered immediately, and so did Curtis, and that's what she was referring to there. I should also tell you that in the process of trying to figure out whose home we would build, we had a choice to make. Working with Yarrow Alliance, there were two profiles. And it became really clear to us as leaders, Greg and I particularly, that we'll let Yarrow make the choice. They actually had a very distinct priority around building with and for a family. And truth be known, previous to our experience, we would have preferred that. It's so cool to work alongside other families when you are there as a family of faith and to be with children. So what we did end up getting was being more blessed than we could ever have imagined in saying to our Lord, just whatever you'd like us to do, we're willing to go and be a part of. Pastor Rosa is a very special woman. Isn't it something to think that through your generous offering all the time that you've built a house for a pastor who 3 days after owning it held a service there, and because of your involvement and ours going on your behalf, there are people who are now our brothers and sisters in Christ because of it. I don't know, maybe now's a good time for an amen. 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 So let's close this service, and I'll ask our worship team to come forward in a minute. But I also thought if you had any questions relating to the trip that you might want to ask, I'd be happy to try to field them or get one of my teammates to do that. And if you don't, I would encourage you to talk to one of them that are here. Jeevan is here, as is Amanda, who are One Life, One Chance workers on the field all summer, who we met in our first week there with them. So we're glad you're with us. And if you have questions, particularly if you, as Morgan said, are trying to figure out if God is calling you to this, now is the time to start thinking about that and praying about that. In 2 weeks' time, so not next Sunday, with the church picnic being where it's located, on October 4th, I want to say, it's a Sunday, the first Sunday in October, we're going to have our initial interest meeting relating to the 2016 team, okay? And that'll be probably upstairs in the youth room, though we'll make that clear then, but I would suspect that's where it's going to be, Greg? Yeah, probably. And at that time, those of you who have questions, we'll answer them as best we can, and we'll have all the information you'll need otherwise to start making application online for 2016's team. All right. I think that's more or less it. Are there any questions? If not, I will ask our worship team to come forward.